Praise God. Praise Yah. Hello. Check one, test. Testing one, check. Mic one. All right. We are live tonight. Watch radio. Today is 8:15. Okay, so I say that now because we sometimes play rebroadcast. So if I do say that and we use this show as a rebroadcast, then you would know it, and then you would maybe tune us off, if it was on WWCR. So we are live tonight, WWCR. Shouts out to all our faithful listeners over the years. Praise God for the mail, P.O. Box. You can write us in snail mails. P.O. Box 1576 to Watch for Radio. P.O. Box 1576, West Babylon, New York, 11704. Call us toll free, 877-734-6327. That is 877-734-6327. I'm saying that because the Faith Radio Project is going strong. And if you have not received a Faith Radio yet and you requested one, I would advise you to get a hold of me with one of those avenues there. Leave me a message very clearly at that 877-734-6327 that I can get you the radio back out. Many of you have done that, okay? So many of you have wrote in and you didn't receive it, and we were able to get that out to you. Now, I want to start rallying in the Faith Radio people that are listening to testify. A lot of folks send me pictures of their radio. They're proud of their Faith Radio. And I don't blame you. I'm proud of it too, And you should be proud of it. It's a little radio, but it's got power in more ways than one. So you keep it going 24 hours a day. That's just great. That's just great. Keep it going 24 hours a day. But on the same token, if you have any issue with your radio, we are here for you. Okay, so we'll send you a new one. Somebody recently said there was a problem with the USB port or whatever. Boom, we sent them out a better one. I sent them out the glass, the see-through model. Because she loved the Faith Radio. And I'll bless you more. Okay? So I sent her the new modern one. And you know what? And the same token, if it is broken, we'll just send you a new one. Just take the chip out and put the chip in there, and you're good to go. With that being said, we have updated the music on it. I personally love the music on the Faith Radio. In fact, I use it for worship and prayer myself. I use the audio output on there with the wire, the 1/8 adapter wire, stereo. And I just plug that into the aux in on the car. And boom, I got instant, powerful worship and praise music going. Or I use it on, computer speakers or whatever to crank up in the house. With that aux in, you could just use a little Faith Radio speaker, but if you want to go stereophonic, it's real easy. So, with that being said, we're going to get Phosphorus on the line, Tom Hewitt, and at the bottom of the hour, we're going to be having on Pastor David and Nona Grant. Now, the reason I want to have them on specifically is they're big promoters, as you know, of revival coming, and I'm starting to lean on that very majorly, and I believe that it's going to happen. There's going to be a shaking and some form of revival. I believe it. So I want to have them on and to touch on some of that because The power of God is needed to be poured out in these end times, folks. I'm telling you. Let me get Phosphorus on. Well, James is calling us. Too bad we already booked somebody else. Phosphorus took his spot. He texted me and said he wasn't going to make it. Phosphorus. Yeah. Phosphorus.
Yes.
Yeah. You sound like Cyborg. Is this
what's that?
I thought you were Cyborg for a minute.
No. This is not Cyborg.
Okay. Where is Cyborg right now?
He's inside Starbucks.
Okay. I don't know where these names come from, but I want to, you know, before we get the grants on, with the time we have, 20 minutes or so, I want to touch on, and then Foss, you take over the microphone. Foss was on a couple weeks ago, and he lit up the airwaves here. And shouts out to everybody in WWCR. John, I got your letter, by the way, with the requests of people that you want us to get on the radio. John, we're looking into that. Okay? So, going to give that to Sammy and try to book those guests for you. Amen. Now, I'm going to touch on a couple of verses I feel like the Lord has impressed upon me today. Most of you know these verses. I'm just going to read in Matthew 24. It says, all these things are the beginning of sorrows. And it says, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake, the Lord said in verse 10. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. You might as well just take that word prophets and put preachers, preacher, prophets, whatever they call themselves today, because this is going on right now. Okay. Many false preachers and prophets and teachers shall rise and shall deceive many. Shall be deceived. And because of iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, but he that shall endure to the end shall be saved. Now, that word endure just rings perpetually, because we know that, I believe it's Timothy, that we were called to endure sound doctrine. So there's got to be unsound doctrine. If we're called to endure sound doctrine, there must be an unsound doctrine. People are not enduring sound doctrine in this hour. I don't care what you say. There is flim-flam ania going on. I mean, it's getting bad. And I had to just go out and see how bad it's getting. It's getting bad, folks. I mean, this, what's going on in the mainstream megaplex anity, church anity, is definitely not going to sustain us in this country. I assure you now. So, I would highly recommend coming away from the mammon message right now, more than ever. Not that I'm against blessings, because it is true. God wants to sustain us and keep us. But when the emphasis is being so magnified that seeking mammon has become the focus of a ministry, get away from it. Because the focus has to be through compassion for souls and healing and deliverance. That is the ministry of Christ. The Mammonite gospel is completely running rampant. Now, 1 Timothy 6:10, many already know this, for the love of money is the root. So when something grows, it requires a root. So you got something spurring up the ground, and that's a root, and that is going to burst, it says here, into all evil. So that's how you're seeing this love of money being so deceptive. When so many, it's gripped them, that root grows into all evil and starts to flourish through that root of that love of mammon. It says, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Prior to that, in Timothy, for we have brought nothing into this world, so we cannot take anything out of it either. if we have food and covering, you know, that we should be content. I mean, he was just saying, look, the focus cannot be on this wicked prosperity message. Now, I haven't really been coming against the prosperity message in years. I mean, we used to do that a lot, but it's still going. It's still going. And it's getting worse. Now, here's what I've found, and I'm sure Tom will agree, that when the focus is brought on mammon, it seems like people become callous to the sick. The compassion seems to get waxed over. So that love of many becoming waxed, it's like a callousation of their meekness, their humbleness, and their compassion for others. So this root of all evil that he was touching on here, Paul, is very real, folks. And that's why it's a stumbling block to many. Now, many were called in the ministry powerful preachers that loved the Lord with all their heart and were called by God and knew the word and have stepped out and had gifts and operated in healing and deliverance in the prophetic. And what has happened is that this subtle, twisted, deceitful teaching let this root begin to grow, and because of it, it spurred out and waxed over and took them over. They are going. If something doesn't happen to bring them back out of the Mammonite gospel, they're going down. Just as Balaam went down. He was lured through Mammon, and he was called and prophesied great things. Many people quote Balaam all the time and don't realize that he was an operating warlock at the end of his life. Did you know that? You know, God is not a man that he would lie. Everybody says that. And, you know, who prophesied that? Balaam. You know, the star of Jacob will rise, meaning Messiah. You know, he prophesied Messiah. He was a powerful man of God. But that love of mammon became a root, lured him. God sent his own she-ass to try to stop him, and he kept pushing through the warning. And because of that, Joshua's armies later slayed him, and they were walking over his carcass. And then they pointed out, this is Balaam. We killed him. So that was his end. We don't know. Obviously, he's mostly in hell right now because he was had a high calling. Now, Tom, we touched on this earlier. You had said that Balaam was a mighty man of God at one time, right?
What was that again, Rich?
Balaam, the prophet.
Right.
He was a powerful man of God at one time. Are you hearing me?
Well, yeah, he was. You know, he was powerful enough that he could speak a word or a curse over an entire army and put them in disarray. And so that's what he was being hired to do. You know, the army of Israel was coming into, you know, enemy territory with the Lord at their front, and they had already had noted some victories.
Yeah.
And so the enemies of Israel were looking for Balaam because he was a known prophet with power. And they wanted to pay him to curse Israel that they might be able to destroy him. So, yeah, he was a very powerful prophet.
Yeah.
And he was a prophet of God.
And that is a prophetic type and foreshadow and a warning that was brought over in the New Testament, that it said that many as Balaam went astray was brought out as a very real warning that it could happen to the New Testament church believers. The same luring of that money can take people away. So
yeah, the Testament is really just full of types and shadows and lessons for those under the new covenant to learn and not to make the same mistake.
I forgot what verse that is actually, but it could have been in Jude or James. I don't remember. But the key is, listen, folks, that type of, now let me ask you a question, Tom. That same type luring of the money that went on with Balaam, a great prophet at one time, died a warlock, right? Because that's how many see him in his death. That same luring of money stole his calling in many ways, right? It took him away from his calling.
Yeah, it corrupted his calling.
Now, do you feel that's going on today?
Well, I felt that we have something similar going on with someone I've always respected and had a pretty high aura. I've had one or two warning dreams in the last couple of years. It seemed to be happening quite clearly. I was very disturbed at what happened in the second meeting with Benny Hinn here in New York.
And you believe he was called by God originally and led in astray with Mammon?
Well, there's no doubt about that he's called of God, and he operated the first evening in the meeting. He operated in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's quite easy to see that and to see the demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. But in the second evening, he tended to turn over the meeting to the raising of finances through a man who also is a prophet and has the giftings of God. But the whole meeting went into the raising of money, and it just defeated the reason for why he was there.
Okay, so all the sick that were in desperate need were kind of pushed to the side. And it was the miracle envelopes, you know, 2 hours of miracle envelopes.
Exactly.
And when that has happened, folks, there's a problem. Okay? When the emphasis has now pushed the sick and there's people with oxygen tanks and they're running out of oxygen and people that are in need of prayer and they're not getting any prayer, okay? And they're leaving, not getting any prayer. And you're pushing a miracle envelope, okay, for 2 hours. There's something wrong. That is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't care what you say. That is not the gospel. That is an abomination. And I'm telling you, they are going to hell, okay? They will be damned because the type and foreshadow of Balaam is that he died as an enemy of God. And if he died, and that's the analogy of someone that was a gifted prophet of God, he died as an enemy of God with the Moabites. That's right. That's right. So don't think that these Mammonites that are casting the stumbling block in front of God's people, luring them into this Learjet mansion mindset, okay, that they are going to be safe on Judgment Day. I'm assuring you they will not be. Now, it's disgusting. That's the only, that is the best word I can actually say for it. It is completely devastating and disgusting. Now, I believe that God can bless. And I believe that many are going through financial situation and need provision from God. And I believe God can do it. But when you're going to take 1,000 or 2,000 people and just preach about miracle envelopes for 2 hours and advertise it as a miracle crusade and you're not even praying for anybody, there's a problem, right, Tom?
Yeah, well, the thing that that bothered me most about what was taking place was that these are real leaders of God. These people have an anointing. They have the anointing of the Holy Ghost. They have real gifts from God. And because they have real gifts from God, the people put a lot of faith in any time they talk about a miracle envelope. But if you'll put $800 in this envelope, I believe 30 people here will do it. You get many, many people who will get behind that because they've seen them operate in other gifts and miracles. But in the meantime, 2 hours is being spent on raising maybe anywhere from $150,000 to $200,000 for the ministry.
Yeah.
And there's very little time left to get in the spirit and get into a place where the sick can be healed.
I think I found it in 2 Peter 2:15. Forsaking the right way, they have gone astray, having followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor. There it is.
Wow. Yeah, it's heavy.
Who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Okay, but he received a rebuke for his own transgression by a donkey, speaking with the voice of a man, restrain the madness of the prophet. So there is a madness of these preachers that God has sent, let's just call them prophets, real prophets, men of God, that have gone and tried to, like this she asks in 2 Peter 2, that has tried to restrain the madness of the prophet slash preacher. And like it says right here, forsaking the right way. Let's just, you know, take a look at some of this. Heart trained in greed. You know, covetousness. This is what's going on. And I just can't believe that in this hour, this is, you know, it reminds me of a verse in, you know, with the condition of this nation and other nations, and what's going on in the world, Christians being persecuted and beheaded and all types of trauma. And when they're putting the emphasis on mammon in this hour, I just got to, I guess, reminded of that scripture where it was Elisha. Not like that other guy last night doesn't know the difference, but I do. And it was Elisha that had a underlying name, Gehazi. And it was a time of judgment in the land, judgment in the house. Many of you recall this story. And what happened is the love of mammon got a hold of Gehazi, who actually had a high calling himself. He was sitting under a great, powerful prophet of God named Elisha. Many could agree. And he had a situation where he could get some brand new clothes and some talents of silver, and he manipulated the situation with the Assyrian general that had leprosy and wanted to issue a gift for the healing, and Elisha wouldn't take it because his statement, Elisha's statement is, it is a time for getting gain at this moment, meaning it was not a time to be seeking out prosperity in such a way. And because Gehazi's heart led him astray, that curse clave to him of the leprosy. So there's a spiritual leprosy going around in this hour for those that would run, because it's definitely, and I think many could agree, it is not a time or the hour to be just putting your eyes on greed and covetousness right now. I don't believe so. Do you, Tom?
Yeah, that's an extremely good example using Gehazi. And I was thinking about, you know, one of the wisest men in the world next to Jesus Christ himself. Even Christ quoted Solomon as himself being wiser than Solomon. But
yeah.
One of the themes of Ecclesiastes is there's a time for everything. And this is not the time for acquiring wealth when the heads of believers are being lopped off in other countries.
Yes.
And yet, this is a timing is everything.
I wish I knew that. I don't know if that's in 2 Kings or not. Do you know the chapter that's in?
Are you talking about the one in Ecclesiastes about there's a time for everything under heaven?
No, with Gehazi, with the mammon.
Oh, yeah, that was excellent. He was under Elisha, and off the top, I don't have that one.
Yeah, I don't remember it either. But it could be in 2 Kings, folks. You know what? It's in 2 Kings 5. 2 Kings 5, just so we can bring out that story. That is a similar story of what we're trying to say, is that there was a time in the land that the prophet man of God, the real prophet man of God, Elisha, stated that it is not a time of getting gain. But Gehazi, his the up-and-coming man of God under him, manipulated the situation and ran after, I believe it was Naaman, who was healed and got the mammon. But Elisha was so tuned into the spirit that he knew what was going on. You can't put something past a man of God like that. And the judgment fell on Gehazi for chasing that mammon. So we're in an hour, folks. I believe that it is not a time for this mammon gospel. It is a time to preach the unadulterated word of God. It is a time to contend for the faith. It is a time now to stand for the truth and to endure sound doctrine and not stray off the path like Balaam did, like it said in Peter, that he fell into unrighteousness. Again, another man with a high calling. Gehazi, calling. Balaam, calling. What led them astray? Mammon, mammon, getting of gain. And what is that, hon?
What disturbs me even more than this is we didn't have two counter opposing forces with Benny Hinn and his prophet, but they were in agreement. Benny Hinn was in agreement with the gifts this prophet had and the abilities he had, and he was sanctioning this man's desire to use that gifting and that position to raise great amounts of money during a time when there should have been much more dedication to the healing of the sick at the meeting.
Right. Well, he shot. I believe God was going to kill them soon. And if they don't repent, they're going down like Balaam and Gehazi. I mean, I don't know what to say anymore. It's getting pretty ugly in this hour, I'm telling you. Get away from the mammon gospel, folks. If somebody's listening tonight and you're wrapped up in the mammon gospel and you're doing the miracle envelopes every week, get the hell out of there, please. I would highly advise you just get away from it. We're going to get the grants on the line. This ain't a game. This is not a game.
Hello?
Oh, Pastor David.
Speaking?
Praise God. Is Nona with you?
Yeah, she is. She's getting to her place of position here, and she'll be on the phone. Here she is.
Hello.
Right. Hi. Praise God.
Yes.
How you doing, Richard?
We're sustaining out here. I got Tom Hewitt on the line with us. I don't know if you've ever been on with him.
No, I don't think we have.
You might have. I will tell you that you guys are always optimistic about revival.
Yes.
That's one thing I can, you've been on with us for years. And the one thing I can say is that you guys are, think a lot about, like Tom, is that there's going to be a great harvest here in this nation. Now, I will say this. The apostasy that's going on now, by the way, this is Pastor David and Nona Grant. They've been on with us many times. The Watch Radio listeners already know who this is. But the reason that they're such important guests is that they actually have tasted the fruits of true revival. Isn't that true?
Yes.
Now, I'd like you to touch on, I know that you participated and had seen the works of, and God moved through great men of God like A.A. Allen. Isn't that true? Mm-hmm. Branham and others, where the miracle crusades of that time are so lacking in this hour. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, they are, Richard.
In this country.
In this country, yes.
Now, do you actually believe that there's going to be a form of shaking in this country, whether economic or something that's going to awaken the body of believers to maybe come out of this mammon gospel? It's disgusting. And then this miracle crusades will start back again, because I'm really disturbed right now. I saw a meeting last night that really disgusted me, and the banging away for a buck has gone to a new level. It's still going on.
Well,
I can understand. I've been there.
It's terrifying. It's actually traumatic.
Well, you know, you mentioned, well, I find it a bit interesting with what the question you asked in light of some things I have right in front of me. And, you know, you talked about the shaking.
Yes.
And in the book of Haggai, the second chapter, I see, Richard, that the final fulfillment of this second chapter is yet to come, to be fulfilled. And what it says here in chapter 2 of Haggai, starting with the sixth verse, it says, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake." Mm. Here's that word shake. "Shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts." Then it goes on to say, "The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts."
Amen.
Now, I have a little article here, and I find it interesting, speaking about the shaking. And this was David Wilkerson's Pulpit Series article, and this was dated January 28, 08. So it goes back just a few years. But I clipped this out, and this is what it says. "How will this last revival come about?" And this is what he says. "How is this last revival going to happen? It requires something powerful, something world-shaking to precipitate it. Isaiah tells us this shaking will happen in one day. In chapter 47, he says, the spirit of Babylon must be dealt with. Throughout Scripture, Babylon has always represented a spirit of prosperity, ease, and pleasure. And the Babylonian spirit is the same in every age. In short, Isaiah says there can be no widespread last revival until the spirit of greed and false security is brought down. We can pray for revival. We can cry out to God to pour out his spirit. But it is impossible unless the Lord first shakes all things." And Richard, I believe that America is in for a real shaking.
Yeah.
And so how soon? It may be this year. There's those that believe that there's certain things that are going to happen before this year comes to a close.
Yes.
I tell you, we're watching this closely ourselves. I don't know. We can't set dates, and we're not date setters. But frankly, Richard, how things cannot continue to go on the way that they're going.
Yeah.
And I personally feel, Richard, with the shaking that's coming, as hard as it is to say this, many Christians are going to lose their lives. Because some of them, God knows the outcome, and revival is going to come, and it's not going to just be something that we can sit back and say, isn't that wonderful? It's touching each one of us. We've had opportunity this week in our own home and with friends and people for the Lord to speak to our hearts and say, you need to get rid of this attitude. You need to get rid of this thing. It's not pleasing to me.
Hmm.
We had a gathering this morning here for breakfast, and in the process of it, we were asking each other to forgive each other for attitudes that we'd had, because we've got to clean out the temple before the glory can fall.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, I'll tell you one thing. God is going to, I think, individually, Richard, God is going to put his finger on things in our own individual lives that we're going to have to deal with.
Yeah.
Because he's going to have a glorious church, and I believe that the glory of this latter house will culminate and reach its highest point with the bride of Christ, and the bride and the bride will have to make herself ready. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of stuff going on today, Richard, that individually that we're going to have to be willing to deal with ourselves. And there's a few questions I would like to pose. And speaking about taking a personal inventory and judging ourselves, and you know, all of us today, you know, we all know what our schedule is and basically what we do or what we don't do. But my question I ask, Richard, and I think it's good for us all to ask this for ourselves and to judge ourselves, because if we don't judge ourselves, then what's going to happen?
But what is
my focus? What is it right now that's consuming my time, my thoughts? What is my motive and purpose in doing what I am doing? Is what is consuming my time, affection, and thoughts really worth it? Do I need to sort out my interests? What time is it? You see, these are no longer ordinary times, no longer normal. And I think there are things that require attention that can be a diversion in our own individual lives. Things that require my attention outside of normal responsibilities. And I think we need to be careful that these things don't consume us and our thought and time. And there's so many things out there today that has our thoughts and our time and our affection and so forth. And, you know, I wrote something down. Someone wrote something down that caught my attention. It says, we're organized, we're computerized, and tranquilized. Hmm. And so are we kind of spiritual zombies?
Well, the 10 virgins all slept, all of them, all 10 of them slept.
You know, and so, and I think, Richard, the Lord is going to deal, and I think he's dealing already with those that have ears to hear as to our own individual things in our own individual lives. And are we willing for the Lord to put a finger upon things in our own lives, or are we willing just to say, well, you know, that's others are doing it, so I can do it? Well, no, we've got to be willing to let the Holy Spirit deal with us personally. Does that make sense?
Yes. Amen.
See, we make up the church. The church isn't a separate entity out there that God's going to deal with, and I can just sit back in the bleachers and say, praise God, this is happening. And so many of us, so many people are praying for revival, not realizing what is it going to cost them or cost me. Because when revival hits, my life is going to be totally changed. Even in what, like my husband said, what consumes my mind, my thinking, my time I spend with the Lord, it's going to totally change. And when God shakes this nation, he's going to take away a lot of things that consume our time, so we'll have to change our focus. Mm.
You know, I got something written out here in front of me, and it says, are there abnormal fixations in our hearts? Am I possessed with something that is not normal? It could be a person, could be animals, a person or persons, an animal, it could be a hobby, a place, a thing. Internet, in other words, what consumes my time, what consumes my attention? And you see, these things can keep us, I believe, Richard, that these things can keep us from the purposes of God being fulfilled in our lives. And frankly, we're wanting to see,
and we will
see a move of the Holy Spirit, and I want to be a part of it. I just don't want to hear about something happening. I want to be involved in it.
Yes.
And so in order for that to take place, then I'm going to have to be willing to allow the Holy Spirit to deal with issues in my own individual life, see?
Mm-hmm.
And see, Romans 13:11 says, and that knowing the time that now is the high time to awake out of our sleep.
Yeah.
And a lot of the church, Richard, is asleep.
Well, let me ask you a question. I mean, are we waiting on God, or is, you know, or are there folks really pressing in for revival and they're not just right? I mean, what is it? What is the reason why there's like very minimal move going on? I mean, it's like, and why is it that this cake bake wacko movement is still going so strong? I mean, is it that many people deceived? I mean, how do we get them out of this insanity? It's like, you know, thousands and thousands of people are just engrafted in cake bake better life now gospel.
Good question, Richard. I hear what you're saying, And you know, Richard, I think, I tell you what, the flesh does not like to be disturbed. And I think actually when it comes right down into the church, and yeah, we've talked about some of this, and you know, the fact that, you know, some of this, the people that can be swayed and deception, there's deception in these last days, and we're going to have to really know the voice of the Holy Spirit.
Yes,
believe you me, because there's a lot of stuff going on in the church that you see people just being kind of swept along with it.
The Apostle Paul warned about starting out in the Spirit and ending up in the flesh. I've actually been in services where they said, let's get something going in the flesh and see if it'll go in the Spirit, and that's totally contrary to the Word. It was all manipulation. But what has happened is there are men that have been called of God and have been anointed in ministries that started out right, and then they've gotten caught up in their own natural abilities to raise funds, their focus has changed, their message has changed. And one thing my husband has said many, many times, he says, honey, we've got to stay on focus. We've got to stay with what the Lord wants us to do.
Absolutely.
And sometimes we're not making a big splash in the puddle, but God's been faithful. But I think the devil has come in through deception, and as a result, these men have gotten off of focus. And the emphasis in the church world today is bigness, the majority going there, fame, entertainment, all this stuff that pleases the flesh, and that's what God's going to shake. All he's got to do, basically, is shut the lights off, literally.
Well, you guys were around in the Great Healing Crusade. You saw the real move of God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is how do we get back to that?
Tell them the experience when your dad was pastoring there in Oregon of this man of the gentleman that had his leg broken.
And you talk
about seeing something.
I was a teenager in high school, and a gentleman in my dad's church was hurt in a logging accident and had a compound fracture of his upper leg on a Friday.
Was the bone was sticking through?
The bone was actually sticking through the leg.
Wow.
They put him in a cast, and he was going to be out of work for the whole summer probably, and you know, with the woods, the lumber industry. And so on Sunday night, he came to church. His wife brought him to church, and he asked for prayer. And my dad prayed for him. By the way, the Lord had cleaned house in the church before this happened. Some of the sin had been removed. But this man came and had prayer. He began jumping around on that leg with a cast, which you don't do 48 hours later when you've broken a bone that badly.
Yeah.
He said, I'm going home. I'll be right back. He went home, took a saw.
How far was that cast from where to where?
It went from his waist clear down over his leg.
Wow.
It circumvented his whole torso. And he cut it off. Came back with some short pants on, and all you could see was a pink spot on his leg where that bone had gone through.
Jeez. Now that's,
and the next Wednesday night, we had six couples come to church and give their hearts to the Lord.
Man, that's some real power to mold a bone and close a wound and instantaneously.
Yeah.
That's the real power right there. That's the power of God.
But see, Richard, our church structures in those days was a lot more simple. It wasn't complicated. Church was just a place where people gathered together and worshiped the Lord out of their spirits. And now the church has gotten so much clutter in it, you can't even find the Lord in the music most of the time. And I feel sorry for the ministers, but sadly, Richard, a lot of it is the fact that they're trying to please the people and keep them happy in the fleshly realm instead of saying, you got to crucify the flesh and feed the spirit.
Yeah, Tom, you got a question for the Grants?
Well, I just wasn't alive when Branham or A.A. Allen were around, and I understand that you perhaps attended some of their meetings. I guess maybe the question would come to my mind is, I've listened to many of William Branham's tapes personally. He's a great man of faith.
Mm-hmm.
And he was addressing large audiences at the time. And what was the sense of the presence of the Spirit in his meetings? Was there a real presence of God there that was noticeable, discernible, even beyond perhaps the singing and other things?
Well, you know, I was just a younger person at the time, but I was in a William Branham meeting in Tacoma, Washington. Oh, this was back in the 40s. This kind of dates you a little bit. But I remember that it was in the ICE arena. And he was going to cast a demon out of this man. And of course, man, the people was in this big ice arena, And Branham told the people, he said, I want you to bow your heads. Well, and so he said, I want you to bow your heads. And when he was going to cast this demon out, well, there was a man across the arena. We're on one side. There's a man across the arena on the other side. And he decided he's going to look to see what's going on. And so Branham cast the devil out of this man. And this man on the other side, who didn't obey what Brother Branham said, he began to cry out and scream out or whatever he did. And evidently he felt that that thing went into him.
Mm.
Well, you see, I don't remember all that, but as a kid, but I remember, when this happened, I'll tell you what, you don't fool with God. And if Brother Branham felt this was the thing to do, then, you see, he told the people, he said, bow your heads. And so this man evidently didn't do it. And so I think he went up to Branham, I don't remember all the detail because, I was a young person at the time.
Mm.
But, the things of God, are very serious. And I'll tell you what.
Yes.
We need to see, and I'll tell you, there needs to come back a real seriousness to the house of God today. And, this thing with Ananias and Sapphira, look, there's nothing to fool with.
Yeah.
And
that had to do with money, too, yeah.
Well, look, you see, and motives. And so, man, I'll tell you one thing. We're just going to have to be so careful and to try to, and I told Lon, we've got to walk. We have got to walk softly and humbly before God.
Yes.
And we got to be careful because I tell you, flesh likes preeminence.
Man.
But God, I believe God is going to have a people. And even though there were some things done back in A.A. Allen's and Branham's meetings and Freeman's and Jack Coe and things like this, yet I believe that we are going to see. We're going to see some things, some glorious things happen, but it's going to happen. But it's going to happen with a. I think there's going to be a price to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, for me, I feel this way. I've got to try to keep my own mm-hmm. life clean before God and judge myself. If there's things or issues in my life that I've got to deal
yeah.
with, I've got to be willing to say, Lord, help me, forgive me, cleanse me,
yeah.
and try to keep my own life clean and pure before the Lord. Because naturally, if we're going to be used of God, the Lord is going to, I believe the Lord is going to use a clean vessel.
What about T.L. Osborne? Do you ever see him operate?
No, I never did.
No.
I never did T.L. Osborne.
I've heard him speak.
Yeah.
But I never was impressed.
Well, that whole healing in mass thing is, that is... some powerful.
Well, yes, and he had some. But was this in the country or out of the country? See, and so America. See, America has gotten gospel hardened.
Yeah.
But I can't help but feel that just like Brother David Wilkerson pointed out in an article, I believe in order for us to see something here, there is and there will come a drastic shaking to our nation.
Mm-hmm.
But out of that shaking will precipitate, I believe, people getting their priorities squared away and people getting down to business and seeking God.
Hmm.
You know, there's a scripture in Isaiah, I think it's chapter 1, honey, correct me if I'm wrong, but it says that Zion shall be redeemed with judgment.
Yeah, and Isaiah speaks about
it. Yeah, and it's the fact that in order for God to do something to bring our country back to him, he's going to have to judge the sin to get us around to where we should be with him.
Yeah.
And see, people don't, they call it gloom and doom, but it's not. I told David, if the house is burning down, is it gloom and doom to say get out? Is it bad to say, hey, the house is burning, you need to get out of here, get out of the house or get run to safety or whatever? To me, it's not gloom and doom to warn people, because we can tell people we know of assurance that the Word of God says that the glory of the latter house is going to be greater than the former.
Yeah.
But prior to that, it says everything is going to be shaken.
Well, it could be actually a mercy shaking too.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
it is.
Yeah,
people,
it will.
Yeah.
It,
judgment will be merciful.
I think it
yeah,
will, Richard.
Like a shaking you up, hey, you know, wake up. Or, you know, I don't know. But
when I chastised my children, I didn't do it because I was mean to them. I did it because I had a different focus in mind. I wanted them to change their behavior and to straighten up and be a better person for it. You know, I didn't do it because I was mad. You know, right. it was a merciful punishment is a merciful thing. The Bible says if you don't punish your child, you hate him. And that's another problem. Nobody wants to talk about cleansing yourself or denying yourself or doing anything like that anymore. There's no self-discipline. Discipline, and of course, discipleship and discipline are the same root words. And if we're going to be disciples of Jesus, we are going to have to be disciplined followers and crucify our flesh.
Yeah. Well, this whole cake bake mammon gospel has got me very traumatized right now, and it's terrifying. You know, it's terrifying gospel. It's not the gospel, so it can traumatize your body. You know, it's evil.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I believe God's going to have to wipe some of them out, you know.
Well, okay, Richard, okay. And let me say this. With the shaking, there's probably going to come a removal.
Yeah, yeah, you know, just like Korah, you know, open the earth, boom, go, mm-hmm. you know, bye.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that would be good.
Reminds me of a dream I had when I was doing the watchman calling about 10 years ago. I believe it was an Assembly of God church, and they were all worshiping the Lord, because I normally went to Assemblies of God. But I had a dream where there was an Assembly of God church, and in the middle of the worship service, the floor opened up, just like when the earth swallowed up Korah and his rebellious crew, and most of the people in the church went down into the hole.
Yeah. Yeah. I've had similar dreams where I saw all these Christians shopping and buying watches, and then like some angel of death showed up. Remember that one? So
yeah, you have shopping, yeah. Rebuking people for shopping on Sunday.
It was something to do with their eyes on the things of the world. Listen, at the end of the day, folks, I believe God wants you blessed. But in the same token, we have to definitely put souls and healings in the gospel ahead of that. You can't just preach about mammon constantly.
No.
Just shut them up. Shut them up. You know, they need to shut up.
You know? This is what David and I have said. We've got to stay on focus with what the Lord wants us to do, because if we look at everything around us, if you compare yourself in any way, you'll either get proud or discouraged.
Yeah.
So you've got to get your focus on the Lord and His Word and live by His promises, because otherwise, like I said, you'll get proud or discouraged, one or the other.
But, you know, let me just encourage you, though, and say this, Richard, and to the other gentleman, you know, let's just keep praying for God to move by the power of the Holy Spirit and say, God, send us revival, pour out your Spirit upon us.
Yeah.
And, you know, one of these times maybe we can address the subject of the suddenlies of change.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, God is a God of suddenlies. Things can happen so fast and so quickly.
Yes.
And I believe that as we continue to seek God, man, things can begin to take place so fast and so quickly that it'll come as, and things like when it happens this way, it'll come as a surreal surprise.
You know what? In the minute or two we got left, can you just pray over the audience in a mass prayer tonight that folks would just be illuminated to this and enter into their callings in these end times. Amen?
Amen. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you right now.
Yes.
And Lord, you see and you know who's listening in. Father, we don't know who all is listening in, but you do. And Father, I just pray that to the listener that you would minister to them right now.
Yes, Lord.
Father, I pray, let a stirring come to their spirit. Let a reviving come to their spirit. And Lord, if they're asleep, Lord, wake them up. Lord, cause them to awaken. And Lord, I pray that for those that have been seeking you and are hungry to see you move, Lord, I pray that you will just allow the desire of their heart to be granted and that they will see your power and your glory. God, this is what we want. And Father, this is what we need in this hour. And so, Father, to those that need encouragement tonight, let your glory, let your presence and encouragement be upon them. Father, I pray this in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Also, your contact email real quick.
It's Juno.
It's Grant NC.
Grant, yeah.
Like North Carolina, Grant NC.
G-R-A-N-T, Grant NC.
At Juno.com.
At Juno.com.
My God, you're on like the oldest web server around, Juno. I remember that came out in like 97.
Well, yeah. It still works.
That's still going. But bless the Lord for you too. We're always okay. Encouraging and hope, faith, and victory. And in the same token, you're right. It might be the shaking is merciful.
It is.
It could be, God could do it a different way. But, you know, hey, whatever is going to get this kicked off, let's do it. Amen?
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
Praise God.
Well, God bless you guys. Thank you for joining us.
Blessings on you.
Thank you, Richard.
Peace. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Night.
All right, Foss, you heard that. It was 1940. They were in the skating rink.
Yeah, that's exciting to know that you have people alive today that experienced the real revival at one time.
In skating rinks, they would rent. Branham was in a skating rink. Ice hockey.
Yeah, yeah.
Lord loves you. We love you. Peace out. Watch radio. Representing East Coast, New York for now. And we'll be back by the grace of God. We love you. Good night. Good night, Foss.
Okay.